just have it all. My last, you told me that it's a lie.
Numbers 13. There's a promise. There's a promised land. God's people were called to take it. They're on a journey, and they get to the edge of the promised land in Numbers 13. And they send in spies to spy it out. Just go in. Go see what's going on in there. Check it out. He even says, 13, verse 20. See whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage. Bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So it says they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And you go down there to verse 26. It says they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb knew. Who are we? We're a people that overcomes. We're overcomers. He knew the DNA of the Father. He knew the DNA of God's people. The men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." They sent 12. Two came back with a good report. 10 came back with a report of fear, with a report of negativity, with a report that we cannot do it. And they began to complain, it says in chapter 14. They began to complain against Moses, against Aaron, against the whole congregation. If only we had died in the land of Egypt. If only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? It says, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Let's pray. Father God, I pray right now. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would move and speak in this room. I just believe there is just such a strong attack on God's people in this hour. And there were 12 that went out and only 2 came back with a good report. Lord, I pray that we would listen to the 2. I pray that we would cut out the 10 in this hour. Whoever the 10 are, the voice of the liar, the voice of the deceiver, those who don't speak on behalf of the Lord, Lord, I pray that their voices would be silenced in this hour. We no longer listen to them, but we would only listen to you. We'd listen to your voice, your Holy Spirit. Father God, let our identity be found in you. Let our strength be found in you, not in who we are, but in who is with us, who is King of our lives, who dwells within us. Lord, I pray in this hour that our DNA would be changed, that we would get more rooted in the foundation and in the blood of Christ, that our DNA is changed. We don't have the blood of the world. We have the blood of Christ dwelling in us. I believe you're doing a powerful transformation in people's hearts, minds, souls, and their spirits right now. Lord, I pray that you would transform us, that we would not look the same when we walk out of this place today, that we would only care about the word of the Lord and not the report of men. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in Deuteronomy 2, verse 31, this is later on, the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sion and his land over to you. I've begun to give, you need to catch that. This is a note-taking church, if you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. If you need a notebook, get a notebook. But once you start to write stuff down, it gets deep inside of you. That's why I encourage people to start to take notes, because it starts to get the word of the Lord deep down inside of you. Every word matters. That's why start to learn the Greek, start to learn the Hebrew. BlueLetterBible.com. You can go on there and you can start to get the translations. And you're like, I'm not a scholar. With the help of the Lord, anybody can be a scholar. All right? Just start to look at the words. I really like to read out of the New King James. Some people are like, that's weird. But I'm telling you, word for word translation, as you start to follow the Greek and the Hebrew, it's just my personal conviction. They do a better job of just giving you word for word. And so sometimes we miss the exact words and the meaning behind it when we start jumping in. I'm fine with all these other translations because they kind of help people understand. Like, it's fine. You can read NLT or NIV or whatever. But when you really want to start getting down to, like, Lord, what's the word you are using here? This just gets you a little bit closer. But you just need to see this. I have begun to give. It's in process. It just hasn't happened. Like, some of you, you're like, oh, well, I thought I was walking into the promised land in life. Like, I gave my life to Jesus. I should be in the promised land. Like, it's like, no. Like, it's a process. Like, you are in process. You're like, I gave my life to Jesus last week, and I'm still struggling with pornography. I'm still struggling with alcohol. I'm still struggling with whatever the addiction is. Why am I still struggling? And the devil wants you to believe that the land cannot be won, that the giants are too big and too great. But I'm telling you, you're in process. He's only just begun. Don't stop walking. You're beginning. You're at the beginning. Galatians 3:1, Paul says, who bewitched you? Which is all that stuff we don't need to be talking about. Paul uses this language. Who bewitched? Like, the devil wants to bewitch you. He wants to curse you. People are like, oh, spells, that's just Harry Potter. No, there are actual witches. There are. And there are false teachers that want to bewitch you with demonic thoughts and demonic ideas to draw you away from the kingdom of heaven. Who has bewitched you? Like, those 12, they came back, and what were they doing? Like, if the power of life and death is in the tongue, they were speaking death over God's people. They were speaking death. They were like, we can't do it. They'll crush us. They'll kill us. They'll take our wives. They'll take our children. Our children will be the victims. Do you know that generation, they missed out on entering the promised land? Do you know who entered the promised land? Their children. Whose word will you live on? The word of man or the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord is good. It is true. And I'm telling you, even if you don't see it, even if all you see are giants before you, problems that you think cannot be solved, cannot be beat, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You've only just begun. Some of you are like, I should be free. I just gave my life to Jesus. Right? But you want it all right now? Good. So do I. Let's chase it together. Let's chase it together. Let's not stop right here at the border and say, oh, we can't enter in. It's not for us. You've only just begun. Who bewitched you to believe this battle cannot be won? It's a lie from the devil. Come on. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm kind of into this. And some of you are like, oh, this is a lot right now. Yeah, it is. We're walking in together. You have to understand, this is a spiritual battle. Like, right now, the devil is trying to attack the church. You are the church. The church is not the building. Last week, we were here for freedom on Sunday night. We had over 40 people sign up for freedom. It's crazy. People want to get free! Praise the Lord! Like, a storm hit this building about 30 minutes before we were supposed to get started with freedom. Something knocked the window out of the building. Like, it just, I mean, you might have seen it. There's some cardboard and tape up there. Me and Pastor Andrew, we climbed a ladder. I say we loosely. It was me. He was just supporting me. He was like, I got you. We got up there and taped it shut. Keep the bats out of here, you know, keep all those little demons flying around from getting in here. The church isn't a building, but praise God for a building where the church can gather. Like, we're blessed. But you have to understand this. We've only just begun. And some of you, you're discouraged because you feel like I've already begun and I should be further by now. I should be farther by now. And I just want to encourage you right now in this season, if you're having those thoughts, good. It means that the devil looks at you and sees you as a problem against his kingdom because he wants to discourage you and get you out of the fight. He sees you as a potential warrior for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you weren't worth attacking, he wouldn't waste his time. But praise God, you're a son and you're a daughter in the kingdom, and you were called to be an inheritor. Step into the land today. Pastor Steph was spot on. We didn't even coordinate what she was talking about, but what was she doing? Like, the Holy Spirit coordinated for us. She was telling you, shut out the voices of the liars. Shut out the voices of fear. Shut out the voices of distraction in this season. Cut it down from 12 to 2. Some of you, you got more than 12. Some of you, you're listening to every podcast, every sermon, every whatever, and that's fine. Like, that's good, but sometimes you get into a different flow and you get out of the flow that God has called you to, where he's planted you and where he's created you to live inside of his promises, of his inheritance. And so I just want to encourage people in this season. You might be listening to something and it's good, but did God tell you to listen to it? You might be watching something. It might be good, but did God tell you to? Cut down the voices of distraction in this season. We are in a season of distraction. The devil is trying to get the church off their target to get them to walk out of alignment with where he's called them. I have begun to give Sion and his land over to you. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit his land. Begin to possess it. Possession is a process. There's an inheritance. There's a process. There's a promise he wants you to inherit. You have to begin it. What's that mean? It just means you keep stepping forward one step at a time. And even though that you know that there's giants ahead of you, if you cross over this border, you know who is with you. Go back to Exodus. I'm on my phone today because my iPad, I got here and it had 1%. I don't know if my kids were watching Paw Patrol or what. Was that you? I had no iPad power. Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I'm giving you history of the Israelite people. Some of you are like, Old Testament, too much. Why? Because this is your, if you have given your life to Jesus, you need to understand, this is your history. You are adopted into the family. And so you need to know your family history because there's truth in it, truth that will teach you how to walk in his ways. For I know their sorrows. God knew the sorrows of his people who were in slavery in Egypt. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Doesn't that sound like what we just read? This is years before. This is God talking to Moses when he turned aside at the burning bush. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. That's the call of the Father, to bring his people out of slavery, out of Egypt, into the promised land, into freedom. He wants to walk you out of slavery into freedom. It's a process. It's a journey. And some of you, you just keep thinking like, oh, I should be more free than this. You're in process. You've only just begun. Keep moving forward because actually you are free. That's the truth that you don't see. Because you're in a wilderness, you believe the lie of the devil because you haven't made it to the promised land yet. You believe like, oh, you're never going to make it. You're a slave. No. Actually, Egypt was slavery. Where you were before was slavery. And so start to look back on your life. Take an accounting of your life. Begin to write your life down on paper and look back and see where you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And you begin to realize, oh my goodness, he did bring me out of Egypt because even though I feel like I'm not free yet, I'm more free than I used to be. You are. Keep going. Don't go back to Egypt. They kept glorifying the old days. They kept saying, oh, if we could just go back to Egypt where we had melons and leeks, all these different things. Like it just, They would just glorify it. And some of you are here today, and you just keep, you tell stories about your old days, and you kind of think, oh, you're just kind of reliving the past, and you're just, let me tell you something. You are glorifying Egypt. In fact, you're telling your kids and your grandkids stories of how things used to be and the things you used to do, and you think, oh, they're just kind of funny. They're just funny. And what you're doing is you're almost glorifying them. But actually what you're doing is you're glorifying Egypt. And you're teaching your kids that Egypt is better than the promised land. And that's why we have kids growing up in the church today who taste and see what the Lord has to offer, and they realize, well, my parents don't even like it. That's because it's not the real fruit. It's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's some kind of weird, demonic, religious fruit, and it's a bad tree. You've been eating from bad fruit, and he wants to set you free from a religious tree into the tree of Christ, into the tree of the Holy Spirit, where there's good fruit. Jeez. I don't know. Like, we got to get there. We got to get there today. We're a little tired. We got a little hung up on that. You got a Husker hangover. Gross. Ugh, just get that out of you. Like it's fine. It's fun. Don't let it become Baal. Don't let it become an idol. Like when you start to hold on to that and it dictates your life and it dictates how you feel and just like if you have a good day or a bad day, ugh, it's gross. I know, I lived it. I lived as a believer for all my life, but I cared more about the Huskers than I ever did Jesus. I showed more fervor. I showed more zeal for the Huskers than I ever showed for the Lord. I'd go to church on a Sunday and I'd sit like this. I'd go to church on a Saturday in Memorial Stadium and I'd put my hands up for a touchdown. I'd clap. That's demonic. When you give the world more worship than you give the Lord, I need you to see, I'm saying this in love, that is demonic. I know somebody just received that, and some of you, that's hard to hear. Hey, I went to a Husker volleyball game with my daughter last night. And it's just, you know, it was fun. We got tickets at the last second, so we went. And I hadn't been to one with her. I hadn't been to one, period. Usually, you know, Pastor Steph gets to go. You know, she gets to live that blessed life with little Harper. But last night I got the chance to go. You know, I went to this volleyball game, and Harper's just kind of telling me, okay, now you got to stand up. I'm sitting down. Everybody else is standing. She's like, you got to stand up. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll stand up. She's like, you got to clap. I'm like, she's gently kind of telling me and instructing me on what to do, what not to do. Like, you know, if they get a block at the net, everybody goes, roof, roof, roof. I don't know. Like, that's what they do. She's just teaching me and showing me all this stuff. And it's just fun. But like, it just hit me this morning. It's like, oh, what are we doing here at Revival? We're teaching people how to worship again. What she was teaching me last night, we're teaching people how to worship the living God again. And so when we tell you, put your hands up to him, it's because he's worthy. When we tell you to shout to the Lord, it's because he's worthy. When we tell you, you can dance and jump around, it's because we see people dancing and jump around after the third quarter at Memorial Stadium on Saturday. They sing the song, jump around, right? Let's jump for the Lord. Let's jump for him because he's more worthy than any team that plays in that stadium. He's greater. So we're teaching you gently here. Sometimes gently. Sometimes it sounds like I'm yelling. It's because I care. It's because I love you. It's because I'm passionate. Because I've seen the revelation in my own life. I was sick with demonic worship in my life. I cared more about a team. I remember driving like over like that bridge past Memorial Stadium as a kid. And I don't say this to throw my dad under the bus. I think he just meant it as a lighthearted thing, as a joking thing. And it was just something that was probably taught to him. But as we were little kids, we'd drive past the stadium and he'd say, kids, put your hand over your heart. There's Memorial Stadium. And it was, looking back, I just got hit with this revelation, but it was weird. It was almost like we were pledging allegiance more to the Huskers. And I saw him more passionate and more excited about a football game than I ever saw him in worship, than I ever saw him in the church. And I say that because I do see the Lord breaking that off of people in this season. It's just a game. It's fun, but it's just a game. Once it becomes just a game, then you can just sit back and enjoy it. Guess what? The rest of my day yesterday was pretty awesome. I know how my days used to be. My wife, she can testify how my days used to be. She'll tell you stories. I'll be like, gosh, I didn't want to be around you. I mean, when we would lose, I would be like, I was miserable. It wasn't fun. Like, and this isn't that long ago. Like, I was sick with demonic worship. Demonic worship will make you sick, and you won't even be able to function because you're worshiping the wrong thing. You're worshiping man. You're worshiping the creation and not the creator. Somebody's getting free today. Some of you already got it. You're already free. Just we break off any allegiance. Just, man, if you need to say this, just say it out loud. I break off any allegiance, any soul tie to any team, any created thing. In the name of Jesus, I serve the one true King. Break it off in the name of Jesus by his blood. Don't glorify Egypt. Don't look back on Egypt and say, those were better days. No, no, no. The best days are ahead of you. The best days are on this journey he's called you into to keep stepping in to all the promises of God. There's more of his promises. There's more he wants you to inherit, to possess. I believe the report of the Lord. I won't believe the report of the 10. I won't believe what the world is saying. I know who my God is. I know what he's done. I know what he's going to do. I know he's coming back again. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess. As it goes on here, verse 9, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses, here he was for 40 years. What was he doing? He was a shepherd. He was just taking care of sheep. The man who was once a prince of Egypt, who had the best teachers. It even says in the book of Acts, he was good with words. Somewhere along the way, we know the story of Moses. He wasn't good with words anymore. He'd spent too much time with sheep. He forgot how to talk to people. 40 years being a shepherd. And all of a sudden, God speaks to him and starts telling him things. And Moses said to God, who am I? I believe it's the greatest call on our church's heart right now. I believe there's so many people here today saying, who am I? Who am I? Like you don't even know. You have no clue. And you want to know, who am I? Who am I? What am I called to? What am I created for? Who am I? Who are we? Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? At one point, it says in Acts 7, at one point, Moses actually knew his identity and his calling on his life. Acts 7, verse 20. And if you want the notes, you can text Rev Notes to 94,000. At that time, verse 20, Moses was born a beautiful child in God's eyes. Who am I? A beautiful child in God's eyes. Who am I? A beautiful child in God's eyes. Who am I? You're asking, who am I? I'm telling you who you are. You're a beautiful child in God's eyes. Start to get your identity formed. Get it solid in this season because the devil is trying to attack identities and get you out of place and out of alignment and out of assignment in the kingdom that he has called you to and created you for. Who am I? A beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. When they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own son. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. This is who Moses was. He grew up in the kingdom, and he was powerful in speech, powerful in action. He was well-respected. But one day, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. So Moses, for those 40 years, he actually knew. He didn't believe he was an Egyptian. He knew he was an Israelite. He knew his identity. He was in God's kingdom. He was one of God's people. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them. He actually knew his calling on his life. He was called to rescue God's people out of slavery and bring them into freedom. He knew while he was in Egypt his calling, his identity, his purpose. He didn't understand how and when. He didn't understand how and when. It says the next day he visited them again and he saw two men of Israel fighting. And he tried to be a peacemaker. Men, he said, you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other? But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. Who made you a ruler and judge over us? He asked, are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There, his two sons were born. That's it. He thinks it's done. It's over. Everything he was called to, everything he was created for. And some of you, you're here today and you kind of feel like that. You feel like, man, my time has passed. I missed my window. I'm done. And you feel like you're a shepherd in Midian and you're just out there for 40 years and nobody sees you, nobody knows you, nobody cares about you. But God didn't forget about him. 40 years later, in the desert near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. As he went to take a closer look, the voice of the Lord called out to him, I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses shook with terror and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groans and have come down to rescue them. Now go, for I am sending you back to Egypt. So God sent back the same man his people had previously rejected when they demanded, who made you a ruler and judge over us? Through the angel who appeared to him in the burning bush, God sent Moses to be their ruler and savior. The one who was rejected is now sent back to be ruler and savior. And by means of many wonders and miraculous signs, he led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years. Moses knew his identity. He knew his calling, but he didn't know how and when. And so what happens? He goes into the wilderness and he spends 40 years as a shepherd. Why? Because God did not need a prince to rule over his people. He needed a shepherd to care for his people. God didn't want a prince or a king. He wanted a shepherd. Some of you feel like, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready right now. I'm ready, I'm ready. And you want to do battle in the flesh, and you want to do it out of your own will and out of your own strength. And what are you doing? You're getting ahead of God on this one. Moses thought the battle was flesh and blood, and so he tried to take it into his own hands. He literally killed a man thinking, this is it, this is the beginning, this is what I was called to. I'm gonna raise up an army, and we're gonna take Egypt, and we're gonna go. And God said, no, that's not how. I'm going to get the glory. I'm going to get all the glory. And so he goes into the wilderness because he didn't need a prince. He needed a shepherd that would care for the people. He's raising up shepherds in this house to care for the people. Some of you, you found that. You've been at revival for a little bit, and you realize there are shepherds in this house that actually care for me and check in on me and are pastoring me and walking me through things. They're walking me through things because they realize you've only just begun. There's so much more to go. Don't stop. Don't stop. We're going to keep going forward. From glory to glory. What's a shepherd do? From pasture to pasture. From green grass to green grass. It's like, oh, the grass is done here. We've spent our time here. It's time to move on. We got to move on to the next place. Revival, we're moving on. We want to move together. From season to season, from glory to glory, from pasture to pasture, from green grass to green grass, from the wilderness to the promised land, we're moving forward. We've only just begun. Some of you are like, we've been going 4 years. We've only just begun. 4 years is nothing. A year is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a year to the Lord. We're babies. Didn't see that back there. Changed the stage on me. That's different. So Moses, I want to go back to that Exodus 3 passage. So Moses, what's he say to God? He says, who am I? And I feel like you're asking that right now. Who am I? Like, God, I don't know who I am. I really don't. God, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I was called to. I don't know my purpose. I don't know what I was created for. Who am I? That I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he said, I will certainly be with you. It does not matter who you are. It matters who is with you. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That is good, right? It doesn't matter who you are. It matters who's with you. Because the one who is with you gives you your identity. Go to Galatians 3. Let's go. Galatians 3. The church is struggling with their identity. Paul writes them a letter in Galatians. Paul writes them a letter here in Galatians. Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? That you should not keep moving forward into all the promises of God? That you should not keep walking with Him? Don't go back. Don't go back. We are not of those who go back. We are not of those who drift away. We are of those who overcome and move forward by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of His witnesses. We move forward into the promised land. You're not of those who go back. Who am I? He's with you. Who bewitched you to believe something else? Go to the end of Galatians 3. 3:26. You want to know who you are? For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You're a son. Ladies, you're like, I'm not a son. I know that. I'm a daughter. I know that. But this is actually more powerful that he calls you a son here. Paul is saying for all believers, men and women, you are sons because only sons could be inheritors at that time. Only sons could inherit the promise. He's saying you are all sons. Women, you are sons in the kingdom of God. You are inheritors of the promise. You're an inheritor. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's a choice what you put on. Every day, it's a choice what clothing you're going to wear. There's each and every one of you. Look how diverse this church is. You all pick something different today. I don't see one person wearing the same thing. Well, there are quite a few flannels today. All right. A lot of people are like, oh, it's below 80. We can wear a flannel. I don't know. I get it. Jake tomorrow puts on a Green Bay shirt. I don't know. I mean, whatever. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. You make a choice what you're going to put on. You make a choice every day. Will you put on Christ? Will you put on Christ? Your identity is in Christ. Make the choice. And you keep trying to build this identity and you keep trying to build it in the world. What are you doing? You're trying to build your identity in Egypt. Moses' identity, he had tried to build in Egypt. He was powerful in speech. He was powerful in action. And, I mean, he was a bold man. He was like, man, this is who I am. I'm going to lead my people out of slavery. I'm going to do it all on my own. And the Lord said, no, you're going to go be a shepherd so I can teach you. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters who's with you. Christ in me. You have the mind of Christ in you. That's what matters. Listen to his voice. Learn to listen to his voice in this season. How do I listen to his voice? Open up his word and begin to ask him, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And if you're not sure what he's saying, begin to discern it with other believers. There's shepherds in this house that will teach you how to walk with him and how to learn to listen to his voice and discern what he's saying in this season. Get into a small group. Come to prayer on Wednesday nights. What are we doing? We're learning to listen to the voice of the Lord. Come and listen. Just be with him. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You're an heir. You are adopted in. You are now an heir. You're an inheritor. You're an heir. Father God, we just pray right now. We just come against any lies that the devil has gotten somebody, anybody in here to believe. Lord, we pray for scales to come off eyes, for ears to be open, for hearts of stone to just be broken. Lord, let us have a heart of flesh to be able to receive what you want to say to us, what you're speaking to us. Father God, I pray for a soft heart right now to receive each and every one of us what you have for us today. Lord, I pray that we would be reestablished in who you are and who you've created us to be. God, I pray that we would just walk with you, that we would talk with you, that we'd listen to your voice, that we would just learn to listen and obey in this season, to just follow you closely. Jesus, we praise you, we thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask right now, that anywhere where there's deceit, that deceit would be revealed. Anywhere where somebody's believed the lie of the enemy, the lie of the devil, the lie of the deceiver, that lie would just be exposed right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I felt all week strongly, like some of you have been walking so well and so strong in your identity, and the devil hates it. And this week he's come against that. And he's even used people that you kind of love or that you care for, people that are close to you, to just kind of like, just get a little bit of stuff inside of you. Just get one thing inside of you. If they can just get one thing to kind of stick inside of you and get you to doubt who you are and whose you are and who you're called to be in the kingdom, then he knew he could get you out of alignment and out of assignment. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get you out of alignment with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, out of his church, out of alignment with the church to get you disunified. And then what? He gets you out of your assignment. Each and every one of you, you were created with an assignment. God created you with an assignment for the kingdom, to advance his kingdom. Don't get out of alignment in this season. Don't get out of your assignment. Keep going. Keep moving forward. Hebrews 10. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing? Do not count the blood of the covenant a common thing. Do not insult the Spirit of grace, For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. In this season, do not cast away your confidence. Keep your confidence in whose you are. Keep your confidence in who he's called you to be. You're a son. You're an inheritor. You're an heir. Don't cast away your confidence in this season. Don't give it up. The devil wants you to give it up because he can't steal it from you. He can't take it from you. He can't. But he can try his very best to convince you to give it to him, to hand it over to him, to walk away from the Lord. That's what he wants to do. He wants to convince you to walk away from the Lord and all that he has for you, to believe that the promised land cannot be possessed, that it cannot be entered into, that the enemy is too great. Don't believe the lies of the ten. Don't believe the lies of the devil in this season. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. You're not of those who draw back. You're not. Worship team, would you come up as we get ready to close? You are not of those who draw back. You are not of those who draw back. The devil wants to convince you that that's not who you are. You're not courageous. You're not bold. You're not strong. That's what he wants you to believe in this season. Don't believe the liar. You are not of those who draw back. Believe the word of the Lord. First John 2, verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. John 4, verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Ministry team, would you get up here just ready to receive anybody, if anybody needs prayer today? You gotta say yes. You just gotta say yes. I just feel a great resistance in this room. I don't know if it's one person, if it's two. I feel like God's heart is hurting for you right now. He loves you. He doesn't want you to draw back. He's called you to him. And there's just bitterness, and there's anger, and there's resentment, and there's just a refusal to step into what he's got for you. So I want to encourage you, just step forward. Don't miss this moment. He loves you. Into the room right now. Whatever needs to happen, I just pray for that wall to break, whatever it is. I just feel a great resistance. Lord, I feel just somebody that wants to experience you, that wants to hear your voice, and they can't. They feel like they can't. They feel like they're not worthy. Lord, I pray that they would know that the invitation is for them today. Lord, I pray that they would know that they're invited into your house. Father God, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you for your ministry, for your work. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the blood. Right now, I pray for the blood to just open a path, that somebody would just see what you did for them on the cross, and they would know that's the path. That's it right there. That they would just get a revelation of who you are right here in this moment. I pray for resistance to break right now. Church, stand up really quick. Let's stand up as we get ready to worship.